I want to welcome you back to our series in the Psalms. We're taking this slow stroll throughout the summer through the Psalms, and it's kind of like that for me. When I read through the Psalms, it feels that way to me. I have to slow down. When I read the Psalms, I can't rush through them. The poetic nature of them forces me to slow down and reflect a little more deeply about what I'm reading and what it means. It's for me, the Psalms are kind of like that summer walk in the early morning when you can just kind of get away for a moment and just relax, slow down, reflect on the deeper things of life. And I'm hoping that this summer through the Psalms will be helpful to your soul, that you'll be able to slow down a little bit, relax, and just be in this moment together as we study the Psalms. We're in Psalm 13 today. I would invite you to grab a Bible, or the digital notes page also has the scripture that we're going to look at. Psalm 13 is where we are. I want to read it to you. There's six verses, and then we'll go back and we'll talk a little bit about what we read. Psalm 13 is a psalm of David, and it starts off with this. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good, so good to me. I wonder if you've ever prayed about something, and when you said amen, you thought to yourself, I wonder if God even heard me. Sometimes life feels that way, that we pray about things or we go through experiences in life and we wonder, does God see? Does God know? Does God care? Does he hear my prayers? And if you ever felt that way, Psalm 13 is for you. Psalm 13 is for those moments in our lives that feel confusing. They feel like they just don't make sense. Like, I don't get what's happening here, Lord. I don't see what you see. I don't get it. Psalm 13 is a prayer of lament. And what in the world is a lament? A lament is a spiritual process. It's a spiritual process of dealing with our emotional pain. Sometimes it's about the spiritual tension that we feel within ourselves of what we know to be true, and yet it doesn't feel that way. And lament starts with just an honest expression of our sorrow or an honest expression of our fear. But lament doesn't get stuck in those feelings, those emotions. There's movement to it. It doesn't get stuck in self-pity or despair. Lament, from a biblical perspective, it's not just about airing our grievances or wallowing in self-pity. Rather, lament is intended to move us towards intimacy with God, this place of spiritual and emotional healing that is only found in the presence of God. I want to say this too about lament. Lament is not intended to be a quick fix to our emotional pain. I think a lot of people, that's what they want. They want something fast. They want something immediate. Give me a pill. Give me something to say or something to think. Give me a word of encouragement and everything will be fine. I want to feel better now. But that's not what lament's offering. Lament oftentimes can be a slow process because it's a process of honesty with God. And that honesty with God moves us from this place of despair and emotional isolation into a place of intimacy with God where we can experience peace and joy and comfort that only God can bring when we have an intimate relationship with him. Angie and I are getting closer to our 30-year anniversary. I'm not sure what it is this year. We were married in 1998. You can do the math. I'm not super good at math, but I know we're getting closer to 30 years. And what I've noticed after 30 years of marriage is this. besides God, who knows all things, there's no other human on the planet that knows me better than Angie. And so when I walk in the door, when I walk in the room, I don't have to say a word. After all these years together, I don't have to say a word. She knows how I feel. She knows what emotions are going on inside of me without me ever having to say a word. If I am excited, she knows that. If I'm sad, she knows that. If I'm upset with her, yes, even pastors and their wives sometimes disagree and have tension. That happens. If I'm upset with her, I don't have to say a word. She already knows that. Here's what I've discovered. I'm going to give you some free marriage advice, all right? What I have discovered is this. That giving, I don't know how you deal with tension and conflict, but I can at least rule something out that's not going to work, okay? Giving my wife the silent treatment has never resolved the conflict, not once. What? I'm telling you, it doesn't work. You say, that can't be right. I'm telling you, it's true. Those of you, and I know for some of you that is like a total shock because you're still committed to it. Like you are committed to that strategy. This whole strategy of, I shouldn't have to tell you, you should know. Right? If that's your strategy for resolving conflict, it's not going to work. The cold shoulder does not strengthen the relationship. Never has, never will. It is a universal truth about relationships that you cannot have intimacy without honesty. It doesn't work. You cannot have intimacy without honesty. And Psalm 13 is this beautiful poetic picture of how greater honesty with God leads to greater intimacy with God. That's what we're going to learn today. Greater honesty with God leads to greater intimacy with God, and that's where we're going to find comfort and peace and joy when life is hard. If I were to have a conversation with you, just one-on-one, we were just talking about our life of faith and our desire to follow Jesus, and we were just to ask each other, do you want to have a stronger, more intimate relationship with God? And you were to ask me the same question. If we were just talking, I would expect that most of us in the room would say, yeah, I absolutely want that. I suppose it's possible that someone in the room would say, no, I'm not interested in a deeper, more meaningful, intimate relationship with God. I suppose that's possible. But I think most of us would say, yeah, I do want that. And my question would be this, for us to wrestle with and for us to consider, is it possible, could it be, that a lack of honesty with God is what is preventing you from having a more intimate relationship with God? Is that possible? I want to take a slow stroll through Psalm 13 with you this morning as David paints this beautiful poetic picture of how to lament. There's a process that flows through this psalm of how to lament in three simple, although at times slow, but practical steps that move our hearts into greater intimacy with God. Here we go. Step one. It's in verses 1 and 2. Step 1 is simply expressing how we really feel. Expressing how we really feel. Verse 1 and 2. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? Every day I have sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me? David asked this question repeatedly. How long? How long? Four times he asked, how long will you forget that I exist? How long will you ignore me, Lord? How long am I going to have to try to sort all of this out on my own without you coming to help me? How long do I have to endure all of this sorrow on my own before you come and intervene? David feels forgotten. He feels ignored. He feels abandoned. Whatever's going on in David's life when he wrote this psalm, it was something that he prayed about. That's why he's asking the question, how long? Lord, I've already shared my need with you. When are you going to do something about it? He's prayed about it, but nothing has changed. And now he's crying out in this place of desperation, where are you, God? Do you hear me? Do you care about me? And I wonder if you've ever felt that way. I wonder if you've ever felt frustrated or confused because God is not answering your prayers the way that you want, and he's not answering your prayers in the timetable that you want. And I bet, again, if we're having an honest conversation, I bet most of us would, if we're being honest with each other, would say, yeah, I've felt that. I have felt those emotions. But my question is, okay, have you ever been this honest with God about how you really feel? And you might say to me, I don't know. Are we allowed to be? Are we allowed to be this honest with God about how we really feel? And the simple answer is yes. God wants us to be honest with him because God wants to have an intimate relationship with him. And you can't have intimacy without honesty. Not only that, but could we just talk about the sovereignty of God for a moment? Do you really think that God does not already know how you really feel? Listen, you may be able to hide your emotions from some people that don't know you that well. But those who know you best, they know. They know. They know when something's not right. They know when something is off with us. No one knows you better than God. No one. He already knows how you really feel. But here's what happens. If we refuse to be honest with God about our emotions, then we get stuck in them. We can't move out of our emotions. We just stay in this place of sorrow, despair, fear, anxiety. We stay stuck there instead of moving towards intimacy with God, because you can't have intimacy without honesty. I think this phrase, how long, this question, how long, expresses something that most of us, again, if we're being honest, that we have felt on our hardest days. See, David knows something intellectually about God. He knows some things theologically about God. He knows that the love of God is faithful, that the love of God is loyal. He knows theologically and intellectually that God does not abandon his people, but he feels abandoned. He knows that God loves him with this faithful, loyal love, but he feels ignored. He feels forgotten. Because his prayers, they seem to be unheard, unanswered, and he's asking this question, how long is it going to be like this, God? And I wonder if you've ever experienced that kind of tension in your faith. See, we know what God's, especially the longer that we're a believer, the longer we've spent in the Word of God, we know some things about God because he's revealed some things about himself to us in his Word. So we know some things about his character and about his nature. And we know the Word of God is true and reliable and trustworthy. So there's some things about God that we know to be true here. But at the same time, even though we know those things, there are moments in distress and sorrow and fear that it doesn't feel true. Why would that be? It's because our emotions can sometimes cloud or distort the truth. And if we're not honest with God about how we really feel, here's what happens with those emotions. They begin to create distance. It's true in any relationship. If we're not honest, the intimacy begins to die. And it creates this feeling of distance. And the same is true with God. The longer we stay in this place of just not being honest with God, it creates, like, it clouds the truth, it distorts the truth, and distrust begins to grow. Because without honesty, you can't have intimacy. I think a lot of us, especially if we've been in church environments for a long time, we have learned how to answer certain questions. We come in on a Sunday morning, and I don't know how many people asked you, but by the time you got out of your car, to the time you got in your seat, or even that time that we do where we shake hands with you, I bet a lot of people have asked you, how are you doing? And we have learned, throughout the years, we have learned the correct answer to that question is always, oh, I'm good. How are you doing? Oh, I also am good. Thank you for asking. And maybe you're absolutely being truthful. But it's also possible that we have learned to shake hands and smile and say, yeah, everything's good, when it's not. Now, I would say this about that. As a church family, we should love each other and trust each other enough to be able to just be honest and say, not the best. Could you please pray for this in my life? I'm hurting, I'm struggling, or this tension in my faith right now, I could really use some prayer. And just be honest about that. Like, we should love each other and trust each other enough to be able to have those conversations, maybe not with everyone in the room, but if you don't have anybody in the room that you can just be honest with, we probably need to do a better job of just being open. But I'll say this beyond that. Even if you can fake it with everybody in the room, you're not fooling God. He sees beyond your Sunday morning mask, and he knows how you really feel. He knows what's really going on in your heart. So why are you trying to fool him? Why are you trying to pretend you're okay when you're not okay? Just be honest with God about your emotions, because that creates movement towards the next step. See, when we're honestly expressing how we really feel, we're not trying to hide anything. It's not automatically just going to make everything feel better, but it will create movement towards the next step in the process of lament, and that is this. We express how we really feel, and then we are able to express what we really want. That's the second step. Express what we really want. Look at verses 3 and 4. David writes this, "Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall." David starts by expressing how he really feels, and then he moves into expressing what he really wants. And he offers up these three requests of God. Here's the first one. He wants God to look at him. He asks God to look at him, to listen to him. David wants God to give him his undivided attention. I read that and I think the image that I have in my mind is that of a small child that crawls up into mom and dad's lap and crawls up, and I don't know what mom and dad are doing, but the child reaches up and just grabs the chin of mom and dad and whoosh, look at me. Because a child wants your undivided attention. And that's the image that I get here as David says, listen to me. Look at me. I need your undivided attention. I feel like you've abandoned. I feel like you've forgotten me. I feel like you don't see me. Listen to me. The second thing that David asks of God is to restore light or brightness to his eyes. The stress, the sorrow, the anxiety that David had been experiencing, it's taking a toll on his body. And David says, I want to feel light again. Lord, I want to feel light again. I need you to restore to me that pep in my step. If you maybe have a more modern phrase of what he says about brighten my eyes, you might say, Lord, I want to feel like that bright-eyed, bushy-tailed feeling that I used to feel. I want to be energetic. I want to be enthusiastic about life again. And so he's asking God to remove this weight that he feels on his soul so he can have that enthusiasm about life once again. Have you ever felt that? Felt like there's this weight just sitting on your soul? And ask God, would you take it from me? So I can feel enthusiastic about life again. He asks a third thing of God. David wants God to rescue him. And David uses this poetic language to say, Lord, if you don't help me, if you don't intervene and help me soon, I don't think I'm going to survive this. That's how desperate he feels. He feels like he's stuck in this sorrow, this distress, this place of anxiety. And he's saying, Lord, if you don't pull me out soon, I'm pretty sure I'm going to drown. Please, please pull me out. How long do I have to wait for you to come and rescue me? My question for you is, have you ever prayed this honestly about what you really want? And I don't mean, you know, when we say pray specifically for what you want, I don't mean in terms of Lord, please, I need a Corvette with $1 million in the glove box, please. Like, we pray that prayer, that's fine. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, do you pray with a heart of honesty and sincerity, not in generality? Let me give you a difference, a contrast, okay? When I say, do you pray in generalities, I mean, do you pray this? Get up in the morning, start your day. Lord, help me have a good day. Nothing wrong with that prayer. But it's very general. It's very vague. Lord, help me have a good day. I think David prays with specifics, and here's how that would sound different as you start your day. Lord, I need your help to stay focused and just dialed in when I take that test today. Would you help me? See, there's a difference. Lord, help me have a good day. Lord, there's a specific thing that I need you to help me with. How about this? Lord, I need your help at the doctor's appointment today. I'm nervous. I'm a little afraid because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the doctor's going to say. And I'm asking you, Lord, for good results, but I'm also asking you for courage and emotional peace if the results aren't what I want. I need you to go with me. See how that's different than, Lord, help me have a good day? How about this? Lord, I need you. I need you when I go to work today, especially when I'm around Festus. I'm telling you, Lord, I can't take that guy. I've had enough of him. He drives me up a wall. He's been on my last nerve all week. I'm pretty sure I'm going to choke him if he gets too close. Lord, I need your help. I don't have it in me today. I don't have it in me. Lord, you're going to have to give me an extra measure of grace because I don't have it. I don't want to lose my temper. I don't want to embarrass myself. Lord, you're going to have to walk with me today. See how that's different than, Lord, help me have a good day. We are told in 1 John chapter 5 to have this confidence when we come to God in prayer. It's on the screen for you. It talks about this confidence in approaching God, the throne of grace. And it says, if we ask anything according to his will, because he knows what's best for you, he knows what's best for me, we can pray for whatever, but we also pray knowing that if God knows it's not good for us or that it's not the best thing, then he has the right to say no because he's wiser than you and me. And so we ask anything, but we want his will according to his will. But when we pray, he hears us. There's confidence knowing that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, then we have this confidence to know that it's already done. It's already done. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 talks about these feelings of anxiety or anxious feelings that we sometimes have. What do we do with that? What do we do when we're nervous or anxious or fearful? You could also move into the emotions of sorrow. What do we do with these emotions? Paul writes, whenever you're feeling this way about anything, pray. Run into the throne room of God and pray. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with a thankful heart, present your requests to God and be specific. The peace of God, this is the result. When we pray with an honest heart about how we really feel and what we really want, we're just honest with God about it, and we believe that he loves us, we believe that he cares about us, we believe that his will is always good, right, and best, then we can have absolute confidence that he'll hear our prayers and he'll do what is best and right. And that, according to verse 7, results in peace. A peace that the world will never understand. A confidence in our soul that just doesn't make sense. And it's all because of our relationship. You see this? This peace transcends all understanding. It guards our hearts. It guards our minds from what? From these emotions that try to distort what is really true. And we have that within our relationship with Jesus Christ. When we pour out our hearts to God and we're open and we're honest with him, we tell him how we feel, we tell him what we want, it leads to this place of peace. Why? Because honesty with God moves our hearts towards intimacy with God, and that's where we experience his peace, comfort, and joy. Without honesty, we're not going to have intimacy. As we think about this movement, we started in verses 1 and 2, we started with expressing how we really feel, and then that moved us into expressing, feeling the confidence to express what we really want because we believe that God loves us and cares about us and always does what's right and best. And then that moves us into the third step of lament, expressing what is really true. We don't start there. We had to work through this process so that we really know it and believe it and experience it, what is really true. We see that happen in verses 5 and 6. But I trust in your unfailing love. What's changed? The circumstance from verse 1 has not changed. But he says in verse 5, but despite what's going on in my life, but I still trust you. I trust in your unfailing, your faithful, your loyal love. So my heart rejoices in your salvation. And I will sing to the Lord, for he has been so good to me. We see David moving from this place of feeling overwhelmed and this place of sorrow into this amazing place of intimacy with God, and he's able to genuinely express what he knows to be true about the unfailing, faithful, loyal love of God. A love that shows up. A love that doesn't abandon us. A love that doesn't walk away from us. And you'll notice how David expresses his faith in the faithful, loyal love of God. He uses these phrases like, I have trusted, and my heart rejoices, and I will sing. These are all action words. Actions of faith that are rooted in an intimate relationship with God. The situation has not changed by the time we get to verse 6, but what has changed is David's hope. His hope has been restored. His honesty with God moved his heart into this place of intimacy with God. I was just thinking about moments in life, seasons of life, when I have experienced, just genuinely experienced intimacy with God. And I could tell you about a number of times, many times, when that intimacy it was through or because of these moments of just absolute gratitude, just feeling an overwhelming sense of gratitude. You know, you have these moments when you're with your family and everyone's getting along and you're just kind of watching it all play out. And you're like, man, this is amazing. Thank you, Lord. And your heart's just kind of filled with gratitude. If you get those kind of experiences, it's amazing. And so I've experienced those things in life where my heart is just overwhelmed with thankfulness and gratitude. And I just feel this intimacy with God and his goodness and his love and his kindness. I've experienced those things, and I bet a lot of you have. But I got to thinking about it a little bit deeper. And if I'm being honest with you, the times that I have felt the most intimate with God, they've been on my worst days. Days of loss, days of sorrow, days of fear or confusion. I know sometimes as Christians, you know, we may bristle a little bit when we hear James 1, 2, and 3 that says, consider it pure joy, and we want the rest of the verse to say, consider it pure joy when life is amazing. That's what we want the verse to say sometimes, but it doesn't go on that way. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many different kinds. I don't like that, but we listen to the reason. Oh, why? Because those trials, the testing of our faith, is producing something good in us, this perseverance, and I don't know if I want perseverance that much. There's this tension in our faith sometimes when we hear that. But we need to hear it. We need to be reminded for two reasons. Number one, we need to be reminded of the truth that suffering in life is normal. You're not abnormal because you've experienced suffering or heartache. It is a universal thing. Suffering is a normal part of life in this broken world. And we need to be reminded of that. But even more than that, we need to be reminded not only is suffering a normal part of life, it is a necessary part of faith. It's a necessary part of faith. Untested faith is essentially theological theory. See, we may know up here that God is faithful. We may know up here that God is loyal and true. We know these things intellectually, theologically about God's character. But it is another thing altogether to experience God's faithful love, his loyal love on your worst day. That's a whole nother way of knowing. And that's when you're able, when you experience that faithful, steadfast, loyal love of God on your worst day, that's when you're able to say, truly express what you know to be true about God. Not because you read it, but because you've lived it. When a boat is in the middle of a storm, the anchor does not stop the waves. The anchor does not calm the wind. The anchor does one thing. It keeps the boat from drifting away. And faith, it's not pretending that the storm's not happening. It is believing that the faithful, loyal love of God, it is going to hold us fast while the storm rages on around us. See, greater honesty with God, it leads us into this place of greater intimacy with God. A few weeks ago, our family went to Hershey to see a Forrest Frank concert, and it was a Christmas gift for our daughter, Faith. That's what she wanted for Christmas, so we got her these tickets, and the day had finally come. Everyone's excited. So we go in the car to Hershey, and the concert gets rained out. There's this lightning and thunder, and they make us evacuate the arena, and Faith got super sassy about the whole thing. Like, she was not happy, not having it. There was nothing we could do or say to console her. And we're like, we didn't make it rain. I don't care. It was a scene, right? It was a scene. So they rescheduled it to the following night. And Angie and I just really didn't want to go back. We didn't want to take that away from Faith. We just didn't want to go. So Angie and I gave our tickets to some other family members, and they all went, took Faith. They went and had a great time. So it was just Angie and I, and we're like, well, we might as well, you know, we don't get to go out to eat just the two of us very often. Let's do that. Okay. And where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? It was that whole thing. I don't know. Where do you want to go? It was back and forth. Where do you want to go? And, of course, we were thinking in terms of Altoona. And so let's just get in the car. We'll figure it out. Let's just go. We'll figure it out. So we're in the car, and we're headed towards Altoona. And at some point in the conversation, it got brought up about this place that we like in State College. Let's do that. We both like it. Let's go there. Which, of course, means a much longer car ride, right? And at some point in that longer car ride, an honest conversation ensued that I wasn't expecting, that she wasn't expecting. And if I'm being honest with you, we both cried the whole way to State College because we had this conversation that we didn't know we needed to have. Our family's going through a number of changes, really exciting, amazing things, you know, kids getting married, and just, the family, it's changing. And I had been feeling something about that, but I didn't know how to word it, I didn't know how to express it, I didn't even know if I knew what I was feeling over all of this. And I didn't know that my wife was feeling the same thing. And so when we started just being honest about how we were, you know, like this chapter of our lives is coming to a close and a new one, which is exciting, is opening, but what do we do with this? Like, there was a lot of emotions that were in us that we were both feeling and didn't know it. And I didn't even know how to express it. But once we started, boy, we had a great, honest, intimate conversation that I didn't know I needed to have. And so I want to apologize to all the people who had to go to Forest Frank the second day. I'm pretty sure God sent that storm and ruined it for everyone so that we could have some moment in our marriage that we needed. I don't know if it works that way, but I'm certainly thankful. And I think that's how this intimacy with God that we're talking about. Sometimes we just need to get started. We just need to be open and honest before him. Like, we're feeling something. You ever felt that? Like, there's something off in me and I don't know what it is. You know who knows what it is? God knows what it is. You may not know what it is. There's something in you that's not right. There's something that just doesn't feel settled in you. And you're like, I don't even know what to do with this. God does. So just have an open, honest, just get started. With that, Lord, I don't know why I'm feeling this way. I don't know what to do with it. I need your help to sort it out. I don't know where you are this morning. It's possible that some of you might be somewhere between verse 1 and verse 5. Right? That's entirely possible. Maybe, and you might not even know, like, why you feel the way that you feel, but some of you do. Some of you are in this how long season of life, and you know exactly why you feel that way. It's this or it's that. And you're waiting, and you're hurting, and you're wondering, how long? Psalm 13 reminds you that God can handle your honest prayers. Your questions do not offend God. Your tears do not make him uncomfortable. Your pain does not make God think less of you. Just bring an honest heart to God, because greater honesty is going to lead to greater intimacy. And that greater intimacy with God is where you're going to experience all that comfort and peace and joy that you really are looking for. If I could maybe just leave you with some practical advice. This is just my own personal experience with lament. Maybe yours will be a little bit different. But if lament, the idea of lament and this process of praying and expressing sorrow, if that's new to you, I would recommend this. I would recommend finding an intimate setting where you can just be alone with God and no one around. A place where you can talk out loud, a place where you can sing out loud, a place where you can cry out loud, ugly cry out loud, and just not worry about if anyone's going to see you or hear you, just you and God, where you can just be brutally honest, not hold anything back. Lord, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I want. I know this to be true about you, but I need you to move my heart to a place where I'm living it and experiencing it. Some people, they like to journal. I've never tried that. That's not something that I have done personally, but I've heard people talk about that when it comes to lament. They use a journal and they write their honest heart. They write it out, and that can be helpful for some, so maybe that could be a way to do it for you. I would just encourage you with this. Don't rush it. Don't think that lament is going to happen in one prayer, one moment with God, and then, oh, I feel better. Everything's fine now. Because most likely after that first prayer, that first step of honest expression with God about your emotions, the circumstance probably isn't going to change. It's probably still going to exist. And so you've got to keep moving towards God, moving towards this intimacy with Him. And that takes time. Don't rush it. And don't get stuck in the sorrow. Don't get stuck in this place of self-pity because you're either unwilling to be honest with God or because you're unwilling to pursue God. Pursue this intimacy with Him. You're trying to do it yourself. You think you've got what it takes to get through it on your own. I would say stop that and pursue the heart of God because He loves you and He cares about you and He wants you in His presence. You know, the reason that Psalm 13 ends with this statement of trust is because David ultimately is pointing us to Jesus. You know, Jesus experienced, if we could say it this way, the ultimate how long moment on the cross when he expressed, you know, David says, how long are you going to forget me? Jesus from the cross says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus entered our deepest sorrow so that we could experience this intimacy with God that we're talking about today. Jesus made that possible on the cross. So if you don't yet have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if that's not where you're at spiritually, listen to me, that's why you feel so distant from God. That's the reason. And if you're ready for a genuine, intimate relationship with a God who loves you so much that he left heaven, that Jesus left heaven for you so that he could die on a cross as a sacrificial payment in your place for your sin, so that you could be forgiven and made right with God, so that you could have an intimate relationship with the God of the universe. Jesus made that possible through his death and resurrection. And so if you step towards God in this honesty about your sin, no excuses, no rationalizations, no, well, at least I'm better than that guy. You can't have intimacy with God if you're not willing to be honest with God about your sin. And when you're willing to be honest with God about your sin, that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, now you're ready for Jesus, the one who can forgive you, who can make you clean, the one who can make you right with God and bring you into this place, this intimacy with God for all of eternity. Jesus can do that for you. He wants to do that for you. Let me pray for you. Lord, I want to thank you for your love and for your kindness and your grace. I thank you that you did make all of this possible. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your willingness to leave heaven. Thank you, Father, for your willingness to give up your Son so that we could just be honest about our sin before you and not try to pretend that we are something that we're not, that we can just say, I'm a mess and I need you to change me. I need you to forgive me. I can't live this life of my own. I can't save my soul on my own. I need you. Thank you. Thank you for making that possible, Jesus. Lord, I also just want to pray over those who may be here today and they're hurting and or maybe they feel tension in their faith or maybe they feel like you're not listening to their prayers, whatever it might be. There's something off. There's something that maybe they don't even know how to express. Lord, I pray that today that you would move their heart a little closer to you. that you would give them confidence to be honest with you about how they feel and what they want, and just move their hearts a little bit closer to your heart today so that they can experience this beautiful intimacy that you want to have in a relationship with us. And I want to thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we stand and we'll finish with a song.